fascists in the woods. The world reeks of hidden schemes and false actors infiltrating, trying to unseat what cannot be unseated. Our understanding of the motive forces behind it.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, November 23rd, 2014 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. American left, is it not time to be more proactive global actors? The kind with a vision, with a plan, the kind that uncompromisingly stand with our sisters and brothers who are general striking for a reclaimed humanity for all. There's a lot of youth and older folks too, with the heart and the certainty to know that we deserve to live in the full abundance of the earth and of our gifts and of our good fellowship. So let's give thanks for those standing tall in Mexico and Hong Kong facing hardcore totalitarianism. And in particular, let's support the call from the people of Mexico for a general strike. And I wrote those words before. They called for a general strike on November 20th, 2014. And I hope that's the first of many subsequent. And I hope that we very soon join with them. Earlier this week, I listened to a radio interview with a man who'd written a book. The Automation of Everything is its title, on the transformation of wage work and the economy and society overall as a result of more and more categories of work being automated, and in particular of the automation of analytic tasks that engage and satisfy those who do them. And then he talked about what he called the paradox of work, quote unquote. And of course, what he's really describing is the paradox of consent, or rather the puzzle of consent, that people say they don't like to have to go to work, but when you look at their, quote, but when you look at their fulfillment level, they're much more satisfied at work. They enjoy the engagement, the challenge. We underestimate the role of work in creating our satisfaction, unquote, he said. The host suggested that the kind of work makes a difference, that, for instance, it's unlikely that people enjoy working in a slaughterhouse. And the guest replied, quote, people who work in a slaughterhouse may enjoy that work, and they certainly enjoy it more than unemployment. I don't see freeing ourselves from work as utopia. I see it as the opposite of utopia, unquote. Brothers and sisters, we've been arguing in these conversations that the difficulty we face getting free is largely because we have no opponent, that wherever we look for cause or culprit, when wrestling with the problems around us, we see only us and other commoners like us. And the resentment that results gets directed towards ourselves, which exacerbates the existing divisions of the class system. Now, those among us who, usually as youth, moved by a search for truth, particularly as we start to trust what our bodies tell us, those among us who probe this dissonance and who bit by bit peel back the layers of our containment, because on the face of it, it's pretty obvious we commoners have no resources that would purchase for us a say in the way the social world is made. We begin to discover motive forces that are seldom spoken of in public. And then we keep following those threads and find each question opens up a door to more and more and more. But what if? What if every human being was doing this? What then? What would happen to the quote-unquote role of work in creating our satisfaction?